New Zealand's beautiful rivers and lakes are likely to get an influx of anglers over the summer months. And with that in mind, Cosmo Kentish Barnes thought it would be a good time to catch up with fish and game ranger Richie Cosgrove.
So we're on the McIntosh's Rocks fishing area, just downstream from the State Highway 1 bridge on the Waimakariri River, just north of Christchurch. We're probably at the closest point to the mouth where anglers can easily fish apart from the mouth, and it's a very popular fishing spot in finer weather.
It's raining today and the water's looking quite murky.
Yeah, there's been what we call a good fresh come out of the hills. So earlier in the week, the river was up to 600 cumex. It's about 130 now, and it gets fishable about 120. By fishable, I mean people can see the fish. It's not muddy and that sort of thing.
Can you tell me a bit about fish and game? What's its role? What does it do?
So we're the statutory body that manages the sports fish and the game bird resource for New Zealand. So we license anglers and hunters that fish for sports fish or hunters that fish for game birds in the hunting season.
Does your funding come from hunting and fishing licences?
Yeah, it comes. We're solely licensed fee funded, so we get no state money. We just get all from our license holders.
And I guess this year the number of license holders probably went up.
Yeah, well, the last season, our season sort of start the first of, for fishing, that is, start the 1st of October. So the 2020-21 season that finished on the 1st of October, license sales for New Zealanders was up about 9%.
Because of the COVID travel restrictions.
Yeah. People probably didn't have the chance to whip over to the Gold Coast or Melbourne or further afield or the Cook Islands and that sort of thing. So, yeah, they stayed closer to home and reconnected with what New Zealand has to offer.
Can you fish anywhere with a licence or are there some restrictions?
In New Zealand, your fishing licence covers everywhere except for Taupo. That's because Tūwharetoa and all of that run that one up there with Dock, so that's a separate fishing licence. But all the freshwater in the country, basically every bridge you cross is a fishing opportunity. You know, every river, lake, pond that's freshwater, that's where your fishing licence opens up for.
Yeah. So if you're travelling around, it's always worth having a rod in the back of the car.
Yeah, a lot of people travel to sort of the big hotspots and they drive over a heap of fishing opportunities to get there. You know, they mount a big expedition, but yeah, there's some really, really good close to cities, close to towns, fisheries that don't get the social media hype and people just drive straight past them and that. So yeah, we say this year and last year, you know, every bridge you cross is a fishing opportunity, every lake you drive past or park up to is a fishing opportunity.
And of course it's not just about catching fish, is it?
No, there's like loads of overseas studies that show the benefits of being outdoors, you know, whether that's fishing, hunting, tramping, yeah, just the benefits to your well-being to spend some time out decompressing, relaxing. It's it's awesome. And a lot of people, I think it's honestly, it's more about being in the outdoors than it is about catching fish.
I have to say though that the last 7 or 8 times I've been fishing with my son Thomas, we haven't caught anything. Our patience is wearing thin.
Oh, well, we might have to point you to our YouTube channel for a few tips and tricks on that one. We do have quite a good bunch of staff around the country that jump on social media and do how-to, where-to fishing videos. We just put one up the other day on perch fishing on the West Coast, but you can fish for perch pretty much all through the country and, really easy to catch.
Mm. That's not a fish we hear much about, is it? We normally hear about the trout and the salmon.
Yeah, so those are the brown trout, rainbow trout and the Chinook salmon get most of the popularity, but there's some quite good perch fisheries. You know, Christchurch has one over in Lake Forsyth. Lake Mahinapua on the west coast is awesome. And they're a fantastic eating fish. I would describe them as the blue cod of fresh water. A lot of people get scared off them because they have a spiky fin and a spiky gill plate, but with a towel you can easily handle them, and they're a white-eating flesh, really, really good. We're doing a cookbook at the moment that comes out next year, and the chef that's doing it, Angelo Giorgiali, he said the surprise for him on the fish side was how beautiful perch was.
Are you producing that cookbook as a fundraiser for Fish and Game?
Not really as a fundraiser, just more to give anglers and hunters the opportunity to try some new recipes, you know, and experiment with their food a bit more. You know, especially a lot of people stick with what they've done, tried and true. But Angelo's quite creative, and he's made some stuff that's really easy for anglers and hunters to use. I've been involved in it, and it's just awesome, the flavours and the tastes that you get out of things. You know, he's done our game birds and our fish.
Excellent. Now, have there been any significant changes to the fishing rules this season?
Yeah, so in Canterbury, this year is the first year where we've adopted a season bag limit for Chinook sea run salmon. So this is only in the sea run salmon rivers, like the Waimakariri, Rakaia, Rangitata, and a few others in the central South Island region, and Hurunui and Waia. So that is a unique regulation. It's the first time it's been implemented in New Zealand. So that means if you're fishing for a sea run salmon in these rivers, you can only catch two per season rather than a daily bag limit. But in the lakes and canal systems further south, this doesn't apply. So it's only in the rivers. And this is to protect the wild sea run salmon fishery and try and get more spawning fish to the spawning grounds to boost their numbers.
That must be quite hard to control.
Salmon anglers are a really, really good bunch of people, and I would say 99% of them are self-policing. When the salmon run is on, there can be, you know, 40 or 50 people on what we would call a picket fence lined up by the mouth of a river or in a gorge. And if someone's not playing by the rules, they'll soon hear about it from some of their other people around them.
So last year, what was the daily limit?
It was one salmon per day was the daily limit. Yeah, and the other thing that the part of the season bag limit comes with a harvest card. So that means anglers, when they catch the fish, they record the details, you know, where they caught it, size, male, female, and then they have to return that to us. And that lets us build up a more detailed harvest analysis for the whole season.
And when do the Chinook salmon start appearing in the rivers?
So there's already been some caught. Last weekend, the brother of one of our colleagues, he caught one on the Rakaia, and that there's been some caught on the Rangitata. There's been a few others caught on the Rakaia. I haven't heard of anything in the Waimakariri yet, but each river is unique, and the fish themselves are quite smart. They've effectively got their own sort of stock portfolio of conditions when they want to come up river. You know, they want the temperature to be this, and they want the flow to be that, and so yeah, each river will be unique. So that. They'll vary in the times when the fish will start to return.
It's an amazing journey these fish go on, isn't it?
Yeah. And New Zealand's the only place of 14 countries where Chinook salmon were released that they survived and prospered, which is quite amazing, really. I mean, and it's probably to do with the glacial rivers we have up the top and the runs, the shingle runs and rivers that... Yeah. The build up. So yeah, the migration of salmon is just an awesome story when you delve into it. You know, we've been doing some work over the last few years with the Winneman Wintu tribe out of California. So their fish went extinct, and they are the fish that we have here. So the Chinook salmon that were released in New Zealand in around the 1900s came from the Beard Hatchery on the McLeod River underneath Mount Shasta in California. And so the Winneman Wintu are the salmon people, and so they want to restore their salmon run. So we've been doing DNA sampling work to prove to the Bureau of Reclamation in the United States that our fish are their fish. And when that is proven, then they'll be able to come up with a plan to resurrect their salmon fishery in the United States.
Gosh, what wonderful news for that tribe.
Yeah, and I mean, they were completely unaware of this, but they met up with some Ngāi Tahu people at a First Nations conference, I gather, and that's when the connection was made. And yeah, from that, it's prospered, and they've come out here a couple of times. I'm sure they would have loved to have been out here this year when we were doing another batch of sampling, but COVID, of course, scuppered that plan for them.
Yes. Yeah. So how far do they go up the river?
They go right up into the headwaters. So say you take the Rakaia, for instance, they go up there. Some of them will go all the way up into Lake Heron. A lot will go to a place called Glenariff Stream. A lot will go to Manuka Point, which is really, really quite a wee way up. You know, you're talking a good drive to get up there, and then you've got a good river crossing to get to Manuka Point. Can be quite hairy, but it's a fantastic spot, and they'll migrate all the way up there, and it can take them, depending on the fish and depending on when they want to come through, can take them a few weeks or months to get up there.
And on that journey, they don't eat any food.
No, they stop eating at sea largely, is what we're led to believe. So, yeah.
Do some people catch these salmon and then release them?
There's a growing trend of people that know what state the sea-run salmon fishery is in, and they've been sort of self-regulating themselves. So they've caught a couple of fish for the season, so they've got some salmon. They'll still go fishing, and they've released the ones that they've caught after that sort of thing. You know, they take a lot of care. They learn how to do it properly, and they do it so that the fish is not harmed and can continue on its journey.
My name's Mike, and we're down the Waimakariri River at McIntosh's Rocks.
You are the only anglers here today.
We are. We must be the fools.
It's raining.
It's raining. It's very wet. River's not too bad.
It's not cold.
Not cold, but you've got to be in the water to be catching fish.
Have you had any bites this morning?
No.
Absolutely none.
Absolutely none. However, it is early and we're going to plug on for a few more hours and just see how it goes. Yes.
What are you fishing for?
Salmon at this stage, and kawai for a bit of fun.
Do you come down here just for the fishing, or is it more than that?
Well, for me, I think having met quite a few people down here over the years, it's a good place to come down for a bit of a chat and a chin wag and see what others have been up to, and it's just a good day out.
Richie, you were saying to me on the phone yesterday that you have some breaking news about a world record. Tell me about that.
A possible world record. Yeah. So in the Mackenzie Lakes, Lake Benmore and around those rivers, we have a particular species of salmon, sockeye salmon. So they're different to the chinook that you'd find here in the Waimakariri. And they're generally quite small because they've basically become landlocked. They don't migrate to sea anymore. They tried to release them and set up an ocean ranching business way back in the 1900s, and it failed. And for many years we thought they were extinct, but their numbers have come back in huge numbers down there, and over 40,000 that you can see sometimes spawning. You know, if you're going into Twizel in March and April, you stop at that bridge on the north side of Twizel and you'll see 300 or 400 fish underneath you, and they're reds and greens. They're beautiful fish. But an angler this last weekend caught a 17.5-pound sockeye salmon. And the world record for that we've found is in Alaska, is a 15-pound salmon. So he's doing all his weights and getting everything checked and measured. And hopefully he'll get a world record.
That could generate some media interest over in North America.
Yeah, I'd say the Alaskans would be quite interested to see one of their fish species have a record from the other side of the world. They're quite hard to catch, sockeye, because they're basically vegetarians, plankton eaters. But Lake Benmore holds good populations of them. Lots of anglers catch them over the summer, and they're probably the nicest eating salmon.
Fish and Game Ranger Richie Cosgrove. And the Fishing and Hunting Cookbook he mentioned will be released next year to coincide with the opening of the game bird season.